Now, the reason I wanted to have this reading because close to me is because I'm always amazed that we don't hear Jesus and take him at his word. So tonight, I just want to give just a quick reflection, and it's going to be quick. It's a quick reflection tonight. And on what it means to love God. And one of my biggest, how should I say? I was going to use the complaints, but my deepest awarenesses of the many years I've been a priest is how we don't, we meaning American culture, how we misinterpret the word love. Because for Jesus, loving God was not a matter of how you felt about God. For Jesus, he's very clear. Listen to this, from the gospel today. Jesus says to his disciples, here it goes, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Pure and simple. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Now, what's the negative of that? If you don't love me, you won't keep my commandments. Or, how about turning it around? If you don't keep my commandments, you don't love me. It's very simple. Very simple. And then, as if to say to us, I don't know if you got this, but at the very end of the gospel, he repeats it. On that day, you will realize that I'm in the Father, and you are in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and observes them is the one who loves me. That's it. And whoever loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and I will reveal myself to him. I think it's because, you know, I don't know if it's because I've gotten older. When I hear people, I've become a bit of a cynic when it comes up to, excuse me, falling in love. I'm just a little bit of a cynic about it. And the reason I'm telling you a little bit of a cynic is because I guess I've just seen so much of falling in and falling out of love. And I've read several very good psychologists who talk about falling in love as a rather benign mental illness. Now, please understand when I say benign, okay? It's something everyone should experience. You know, there's nothing like having fallen in love. But most psychologists will tell you that the experience of falling in love and being all giddy and stuff like that, that you're lucky if it lasts 3 to 5 years. Now, that doesn't mean you stop loving, but it does mean that if you don't go beyond the feeling level, you will never understand what it means to love. Because what it means to love, I've come to understand, is what I always say to you, that love is a decision, not the feelings, to unite yourself with God in caring for another, no matter how you feel. And look, Jesus says, if you love me, you keep my commandments. In other words, the first relation, what's the first commandment? You shall love the Lord your God. With all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. Now, what does that mean? It does not mean that you have feelings towards God. It means that you take his commandments seriously and you obey them first and foremost, no matter who else is expecting stuff out of you. That's what it means. That's why one of my favorite sayings, and I'm threatening to have it tattooed on my forehead, but have it tattooed backwards so that I can see it in the mirror. And one of my favorite sayings is, you gotta live your life for an audience of one. And that one is a capital O. And once you start living your life saying constantly, what do you want me to do, Father? What is it that you want? Then the rest flows. The moment that sin comes into your life is when you love something else. And what I mean by love is not feelings. When you start obeying something else rather than God. It's as simple as that. And that is the truth. Now, I'm finished with that. Point number two. Because I really like this second point too. Point number two is what Jesus talks about in the Spirit. He says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another, an advocate, to be with you always, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot accept, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you will know him, because he remains in you and will be in you. Now, I just want to give you a little advice. This is just a tiny piece of advice. I get people all the time that want me to have a magic word that will sort of turn their kids religious. You know, they'll say, my son, my daughter, my husband, whatever. They don't want to go to church. They're not there. They don't believe in God and, you know, stuff like that. Father, what can I do? I don't have the power to pull a chain and to have a person magically turn towards God. If they offered that course in the seminary, I must have flunked it. Because I don't know how to do that. However, the best thing that I know is what my mom did when I was growing up. You see, when I was 16, 17, I thought the whole God thing was total garbage. Total garbage. I still remember, I went to Catholic high school. I remember the priests and the nuns. They would say, God loves you. And in my head, I would never say anything because I still remember Father Kumba. And Father Kumba had a deadly aim with chalk. Okay? And he would either throw an eraser, and the nuns were tough. So when they would say, God loves you, in my head, I would say, bully for him. Bully for him. That's nice. My mama loves me too. I must be one heck of a guy. And when they would say, Jesus died for you. I would think, I didn't ask him to do that. I'm sorry you did that. I mean, that didn't make sense. And so, I was not read. Religion was always an answer that I never had a question for. You see, several years ago, I had a lady, I've never forgotten her. She was going through a real rough time because her family was religious and she wasn't. And she came to my office and we were talking. And she said to me, Father, what is this whole thing about saved? Saved? Saved. Why do I have to be saved? Saved from what? And of course, constantly people are asking, you know, are you saved? And of course, everybody goes, I'm saved. But at the core, most people don't understand. Saved from what? If you are going to be saved, you got to be in trouble. If you've never experienced being in trouble, being saved makes very little sense. I like to use this example. And you've probably heard me use it before because it's silly, but it makes so much sense. If you're swimming in a swimming pool and you're having a great time swimming and you're with your friends and the lifeguard jumps into the pool, swims over to you and says, I'm here to save you. What do? You look at the lifeguard and you go, oh, thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. I'm okay, though. Thank you for the thought. That's very nice of you. And if you think about it, that's how most people react to Christianity. Oh, thank you. You're so wonderful. So noble. You want to save me. Now imagine 5 minutes later that you're by yourself and for some reason you get a heart attack or something like that, and you start drowning in the pool. And the same lifeguard jumps in, swims over to you, and says, I'm here to save you. It's the same lifeguard. It's the same message. What's different? Well, what's different is you're in trouble. And what was meaningless before is totally relevant now. Okay? So, why does this have to do with the spirit of truth? My mom used to tell me, and this is where this connects. When I was 16, 17, she would call on Sunday mornings, and she would knock on my door. And she would say, Mario, she didn't call me father because I wasn't father. Anyway, but she would say, Matt, she wouldn't say Mario. She would go, Mario, and in Spanish, she would say, ¿Quieres venir a misa con nosotros? Do you want to come to mass with us? And of course, from inside my room, I would go, Mom, you know I don't believe in that garbage. Leave me alone. It was 8 o'clock in the morning, middle of the night. Right? And she would always say this. She would always say, okay, but remember, you're a good man. You're a man of integrity. Keep seeking for the truth, and we will pray for you. And then they'd go off to mass. The next Sunday, knock, knock, knock. Mario. ¿Quieres venir a misa? Do you want to come to mass? No, Mom. Okay. Just know that you know that you're a good man. You're a man of integrity. Keep seeking for the truth. And we will pray for you. Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. What was she doing? She knew that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. She also knew that I was not ready to accept it. That I had been taught about Jesus, but it had not come into my soul. And all she wanted me to do was to seek the truth. I wasn't ready to receive the spirit of truth. Every human being wants to know the truth. And so all she would say is, seek the truth. And then she would give me that compliment. You're a man of integrity. seek the truth. And then the last, I will pray for you. That's what all of us have to do. We have to do that with all of our children, with our husbands, our wives, everyone. Because they may not be ready. The worst thing you can do to anybody is to try and shove religion down their throats. Now, by that, I don't mean if they're little kids. Okay, that happened after a lot of fighting when I was 16, 17. Okay, about whether I was going to go to church or not. I think I was like 17. And that's when Mom came to the point of understanding that the fighting was worse than trying to get me to go to church. And that's when she made the decision to change the way she did it. And so I just commend that to you. I commend that to you. When they're little kids, heck no. Get dressed. Come on. We're going. I don't care. Okay, there's a man that I know who had a 13, 14-year-old son. And his son said to him, "Dad, I'm not going to go anymore to CCE classes because I don't believe in that garbage." And the father said, "I can't make you believe." And the son said, "I'm an atheist." And the father said to him, "Son, I can't make you believe in God, but I do want you to be an extremely intelligent and well-informed atheist. So I want you, and you are going to go to religious education. Why? Not because you believe it, but because I want you to intelligently describe exactly what you don't believe. I want you to be an intelligent atheist and not a stupid one." I thought, man, that's brilliant. That's brilliant. Why? Because, okay, if you're going to be an atheist, at least know what it is that you're saying no to. Okay? At least hear the arguments out. Don't be intellectually lazy, which is what a lot of people are. They're just intellectually lazy. And so, the two things. Number one, loving God means, I don't not your feelings, it means, are you following his commandments? And number two, tell people to seek the truth, because the truth is Jesus Christ. They may not be ready to receive it, but in time, God will lead them in the right path. Jesus said it, anyone who seeks the truth, who seeks, will come to me. No one comes to God the Father, but through me. Those are the words of Jesus. And those are two of the most important things that I've learned in the last 40 or 50 years.